Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Titans football, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good rant on Michigan there, Joe. I will now refer to them as America's team from now on.
America's team, baby.
Yeah, just like the 70s Cowboys.
That's right. Just beautiful. Shout out to Jim Harbaugh. Gentry, we've talked a lot about Vrabel so far this week. Obviously, we know the roster limitations. We know the situation that this Titans team is in right now. Having said all that, and with that information in the background, how do you evaluate the job that Vrabel has done to this point this year?
You know, in the past, I think when he got toward the end of last season, I think it made a handy excuse to say injuries, talent, just the roster wasn't good enough. And that happens and the GM gets fired. Now that excuse doesn't really work so much anymore because you had an offseason in which we don't really know who's making the final decisions on personnel, but I think most people assume it was Vrabel in a lot of cases. And, you know, now the excuse of this roster and this team just isn't good enough doesn't hold the same weight, I think. So when you look at what's going on right now, guys like Andre Dillard and some of the what they did this last offseason not quite working out on the field, I think you do blame Vrabel a little more. I think you have to. And, you know, you get asked a lot, is he on the hot seat? Is he in trouble? No, I don't think he is right now. But I didn't think John Robinson was about to get fired right after the game in Philly last year either. And I just feel like at some point, you need something to turn. You need to start winning some games. You need to get some momentum. You need to do, let's say, like what the Denver Broncos are doing. You know, going and winning a game in Buffalo out of nowhere. You know, just getting something to get people to feel as though things are going in the right direction, and the Titans are going the other way right now.
So staying with Vrabel, what do you make, Gentry, of the Patriots trade scenario? And I've heard there's some other teams that have heard this week too. I mean, maybe there could be a whole bunch of teams trying to trade for Mike Vrabel. What do you think of that? And let's say Robert Kraft really is moving on from Bill Belichick and really does. I think it's certainly viable. And I buy some of the reporting on him coveting Vrabel. How do you think Amy Adams Strunk would look at that?
You know, it's funny, to ask the one question about his job security and then ask another one about how much other teams covet
him. right.
Situation right now. I mean, you know, look, I think Vrabel's a good coach. He's done a good job here. I would say he's earned the right to try to get this turned around. But I would also say if another team really wanted pretty much any coach, but a coach right now who's 3-6 and, you know, if the offer is a couple of first-round picks or something really good for him, yeah, I'd do it. I think I would for almost any coach at this point. The Titans need that an influx of talent on the roster. And again, you know, we're talking about Vrabel, but I do think as you look at this team and you say, okay, what do they need most? They need players. They need more talent. This is an aging roster that also isn't very good, and that's not a good combination.
Is this offensive line – worse than last year's? Like, is Andre Dillard at left tackle worse than Dennis Daly?
Whew, that's a good question. the fact that that even comes up, Robbie.
I know.
I mean, at this point, yeah, but you would almost have to say he is worse. You didn't think the line. I mean, the line struggled so much last year, but there were excuses for that. Lawan got hurt. Ben Jones was never healthy. You know, now you don't really have any excuses. They just didn't take care of this in the offseason. And I think this one you kind of knew the first week of training camp when you saw the O-line getting overwhelmed by the defensive front. And I think the hope for Titans fans at the time was, well, maybe our pass rush really is that good. No, it was the O-line. And we've seen it play out now this season to where they just didn't do enough there. And I don't think any team is going to be very successful when you're getting overwhelmed on the offensive line, but especially this team, you know, that relies so much on Derrick Henry and run and play action. If you can't run the ball, you can't protect your quarterback. I mean, you're just not going to do anything. It's going to look like it looked on Sunday where the Titans got manhandled by a very beatable Tampa Bay team that had just struggled to stop the Texans.
So now you move forward, you know, we'll see. Like you said, you know, they could go win in Jacksonville, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, hanging around. I mean, the Jags looked like they were toast a year ago. But short of that, this is, you know, it's about Will Levis. And I do, you know, Vrabel got the question yesterday about, you know, the fear of, I guess, ruining a young quarterback if you get him hit, if you can't protect him, things like that. I personally, you know, I don't think that's a big concern, but I do think it's possible that the kid gets hurt this year. Where are you on his performance? And, you know, what about that? Just the idea of protection, possibly, you know, forcing another QB change before this season's over, just because he's hurt.
I mean, you don't want to speak it into existence, obviously, but yeah, I'd say it's almost probable that he would get hurt. This point, I would have said the same thing before Tannehill got hurt. Couldn't protect him, can't protect Levis. But I will say to the conversation of ruining Levis with this sort of thing, if that was going to ruin Will Levis, it already would have. If anyone watched Kentucky play last year, their O-line was every bit as bad as this. It was the kind of thing where he was hurt all last year. The protection was terrible. Kentucky's offense never got it figured out. They're out there losing to Vanderbilt, and Levis is throwing for about 100 yards in that game. The protection issues, he's seen that before against good defenses. The main thing, I think it might have helped him here the first few games coming into the NFL. But I feel like, you know, with Levis, he's a tough kid. But the night they drafted him, I don't know, Joe, if you remember, Vrabel gave an answer to the question of how much Kentucky's offense had gotten worse from Levis's first year to his second year as a starter, and said, if we don't protect him any better, it's not going to look any better. Well, they're not really protecting him any better.
Yeah, no question about that. Gentry on the sticking with the offensive front here. You know, Burks doesn't play on Sunday against Tampa Bay. We'll see what his status looks like for this week. But overall, with Burks and with Okonkwo, how do you view, if you're Vrabel and Carthon and you're trying to map out the future of the offense right now and trying to determine how to allocate your money, where to go with your draft picks, your needs, and there's a lot of them. How do Burks and Okonkwo factor into this, given how disappointing, in my mind, the both of them have been this year?
Just me personally, and they could view this totally different. I would stick with Treylon Burks. I still think there's something there. I want to see him when he's healthy. We've seen it on the practice field enough with him to make you think that's a talented guy. He's just got to stay healthy and get some confidence, but I still think that's somebody that can help you. You know, that is, he may never be a wide receiver one in this league. He may never do it, but I feel like he has that kind of ability, and if you have a guy like that, I think you need to see where that's going. Okonkwo, I think, is a nice player. I've never believed – I always thought the Titans were putting too much on him going into this season. He really hadn't proven that he could be a number one tight end and do everything that's needed to be on the field the way the Titans are going to want that player to be. And I just felt like last year he had a good year, but he didn't, as
rookie, but he didn't show enough to kind of prove he was that guy, and I still don't think he is. You know, I think he's a guy you keep on the team, but I felt like they needed help at tight end anyway and still feel like that's the case. You know, but at receiver, if you get Hopkins and Burks back, I think that's one of the few areas of the team you're probably feeling pretty good next year. There's going to be a whole lot of turnover everywhere else.
Yeah, well, including on defense. I mean, that's the thing. Because first of all, as you're talking earlier about things said in camp, I know I must have uttered 20 times on this show, well, the defensive front, though, you know, you got to keep that in mind with this offensive line. Come on. We're talking about a great pass rush. But I'm just looking at this defense, and I think there's a lot more work to do there than I would have expected at the beginning of this season. Or at least that's how I look at it. How do you look at that? Like, who on this defense, we know Jeff Simmons will be here, you know. I guess we know Amani Hooker and maybe a couple other guys. But who on this defense do you look at as, like, you're definitely moving forward with that guy, other than Simmons?
Add Roger McCreary to the ones you named, and that's about it. I mean, you would like to keep a Denico Autry. I mean, I think he makes you better, but – No, the real question, I guess, would be like a Harold Landry, because we saw at the time why the Titans chose to give him the deal he has. I mean, at the time he kind of earned that, but I think the fear in that was, well, what if it wasn't him? What if it was everybody else on the line and he was just kind of benefiting from the attention other people got, you know, but to be worth that kind of big money as an edge rusher. He hasn't really produced to that this year. Now, Landry did have a pretty good game in Tampa on Sunday. He was as active statistically as he has been this year, so maybe that was a good sign for a guy who's just still working his way back from an injury. That's entirely possible with Landry. That's the one that maybe I would put on as a question mark. It's just the deal, and as expensive as he is, he's not living up to that, but goodness knows he's not the only one on the team doing that right now.
Well, Gentry, really good stuff. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexha. There's part of an answer he gave there with Burks and Okonkwo that I want to kind of hone in on next, because to me, Joe, so much of what their plan is going to be as they move forward to really comes down to specifically Burks, but you could throw Okonkwo in there too. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. How do Burks and Okonkwo factor into this, given how disappointing, in my mind, the both of them have been this year?
Just me personally, and they could view this totally different. I would stick with Treylon Burks. I still think there's something there. I want to see him when he's healthy. We've seen it on the practice field enough with him to make you think that's a talented guy. He's just got to stay healthy and get some confidence, but I still think that's somebody that can help you. That is, he may never be a wide receiver one in this league. He may never do it, but I feel like he has that kind of ability. And if you have a guy like that, I think you need to see where that's going. Okonkwo, I think, is a nice player. I always thought the Titans were putting too much on him going into this season. He really hadn't proven that he could be a number one tight end and do everything that's needed to be on the field the way the Titans are going to want that player to be. And I just felt like last year he had a good year, but he didn't, as a rookie, but he didn't show enough to kind of prove he was that guy. And I still don't think he is. You know, I think he's a guy you keep on the team, but I felt like they needed help at tight end anyway and still feel like that's the case. You know, but at receiver, if you get Hopkins and Burks back, I think that's one of the few areas of the team you're probably feeling pretty good next year. There's going to be a whole lot of turnover everywhere else.
That was Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us in the last segment discussing Treylon Burks, Chig Okonkwo. Look, I think there are some Titans fans, and I've already seen them, like Caleb on the text line says, Burks is not anything to feel good about. I don't know how anyone with two eyes and a brain could say that. Like, there's the conversation about Burks immediately goes to, well, he's a bust. He's
right,
done
at this point. Exactly what people said. Kyle Phillips, I never want to see him on the field again. Okay, well. Now he plays, and he can play. Treylon Burks can play. Is it fair to wonder if he'll be healthy? Absolutely. Yep. Do you give up on him? No.
No. I think he's on the team next year. Like, I think this idea that he's just going to be cut is ridiculous. He's a first-round pick. He'll be in his third year next year. So he's going to be on the team. Now, the being on the team and being counted on are two different things. And that's where I'm at with Burks. I have no problem with him continuing to be on the team. I agree with Gentry. I think you need to exhaust every option you can possibly exhaust to see if you can pull out of Treylon Burks what you believe is there. And like, we've seen flashes of it. We have seen flashes even in games of what Burks can do. Not anywhere near consistently enough, but we've seen flashes of what he can do. Now, I do think if you're the Titans and you get into this offseason and you say, well, we got Hopkins coming back and we got Burks under contract, we're fine at wide receiver. I think that would be a tremendous mistake. I think they need to add to wide receiver, whether that's in free agency, and I know T. Higgins' name is going to come up, whatever. Whether it's in free agency or the draft, they need to address wide receiver. And then if Burks works out for you after that, great. I think the idea that you can just count on him and rely on him to be an effective wide receiver two for you next year would be a mistake based on what we've seen to this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, but the only thing is, like, you're going to have to take some risks of not doing anything in some spots and hoping certain guys work out, right? And
I'm not willing to do that at wide receiver anymore. That's just me.
He would be one of the possibilities. Now, to me, though, there's two ways to address it. One is, yeah, if you can get T. Higgins, go ahead and do that. I mean, sure. Get in there. Now, you know, T. Higgins attracted to this place, you know, I don't know, but absolutely a worthwhile pursuit. But if not, then to me, and I don't know all the free agency possibilities, but I think most of what you're adding beyond him, you know, is like you're replacing NWI's spot, which to me, NWI's fine.
Mike Evans out there.
Even Mike Evans, I'm not saying no on Mike Evans. I mean, he just destroyed the Titans. He is up there. I'd be interested. There's a big difference to me between those two just in terms of age.
Well, Tegan's is 24 and Evans is 30. Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean, depending on what that would look like, that'd be fine. But I think if it's not Higgins, then you do need to draft someone somewhere, and then they get in the mix, and then however it shakes out. Again, Kyle Phillips, is he going to stay healthy? Because if he is, he's going to help this team. I think you're going to see him on the field more this year than you are already.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. It's just like, I mean, to me, the first thing you have to prioritize, and then the second and the third is having an offensive line that can block a freaking soul. And so that's like if you it's just you're not going to be able to address everything.
Right. Now, left tackle is non-negotiable. I think we could all agree with that. Like you've got to find a way to get a left tackle. And I think a heavy investment in a left tackle, be that financially in free agency or be that with a very high draft pick. So I think everybody can see that and can agree with that. I think receiver is really important too. I mean, even if that's at the expense of – like I think there's this idea – that the Titans are going to change four out of their five starters in the offensive line next year, and you probably need to change at least two to three of them. I would be willing to sacrifice one of those changes for another wide receiver. I would. Like, you got to give your quarterback weapons. That's what the league is now. You got to find a way to get weapons. You know, Hopkins has played great. Hopkins is going to be another year older next year. So while he's under contract, you know, will the injuries pop up then? Treylon Burks has been injured his entire career to this point. So I don't know how you can rely on that. Like, you can't get in a situation next year where you're looking down the roster and you're searching right now for somebody to make a play other than DeAndre Hopkins, which is where they are right now. If it's not Hopkins and Phillips has moved the chains, done a nice job, but somebody down the field to make a play, if it's not Hopkins right now, it's basically nobody other than the odd catch here or there from NWI or Chris Moore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and Burks is good enough. I do believe that. He's good enough to definitely be a wide receiver, too, in the NFL. Will he be available? You have to see how the rest of the season goes, see how his health goes. I mean, he's been knocked out 2 years in a row in a game, and he's had other stuff. So, and then how do you feel about him, he is definitely going to be on the team and have an opportunity next year. But I think the next few weeks are critical in that regard, him demonstrating that he can stay on the field and then that he can make plays.
Well, it's they need to see something from him the rest of this year. And so much of this is about Levis, and I get that. They need to see in the last part of this season here, last eight games, they got to see something from Burks. Like, he's got to flash. He's got to show something that gets you feeling good about him as you move forward. For himself, for the team, everybody involved. Like, I think it's really important that he finds a way to get back on the field and to play well once he's there. By the way, T. Higgins, born in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Yeah.
The homecoming.
Yeah. Absolutely. Vols fans didn't get him, and now maybe you'll get him as a Titan. Maybe, and then so. You'll feel better about Will Levis throwing passes instead of Hendon Hooker.
Absolutely.
Sorry, real quick. Like, to me, you got a draft. We thought they were going to draft a receiver prominently last year. They didn't.
Yep.
And I think that's high on the list this year.
I would agree. There's a lot of things that are
competing with it, but yeah.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Smokey Ben. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, fellas. Appreciate you taking the call. You know, as a Titans fan for the whole 25 years they've been here, I know that the off season is more interesting than the in season, because during the season we watch our offense set back football to the Stone Age. So, in free agency, guys, what do you think about Travis Frederick, the center from the Cowboys, T. Higgins, wide receiver, you're talking about him, Kyle Duggar, the safety from the Patriots? I mean, $100 million under the cap, they have to spend money on the first day of free agency. If they do not make moves like the year they got Chris Hope and David Thornton and, you know, four starters, two on O and two on D, then Amy Adams isn't trying. And I'd like to say maybe they're the future Frankfurt Titans of Germany if she's not going to spend no money and raise my property taxes. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Appreciate it. Moving them to Germany.
Okay.
Well,
Jag might be competing with the Jags for that.
To his point, I don't know about specifically, you know, all the players he's laying out there. I mean, there's a lot that can happen between now and free agency. The general point, though, of how willing is Amy Adams Strunk going to be to go out and spend in a big way? It's one thing to have the cap space, Joe. It's another thing to actually use it. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe that she wouldn't go spend it, but I know that if she doesn't and the Titans get through and they've got, you know, $55, $40, $35 million worth of cap space heading into next year, they're going to be upset.
Yeah, there's no excuse, because to invoke something we've talked about, first of all, you can go beyond what your cap space is, okay?
Yeah.
You can go beyond what your cap space is. There are different payrolls that are separate from the cap, and when you have cap space, yeah, it matters, because like that, like everybody can see it. You need to go ahead and use that. I'm not saying down to the last cent. You want to leave yourself a little bit of flexibility, but you need to go out and spend a lot of money. And if they don't, that to me goes straight to Amy.
Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 11 matchup against the Jaguars and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see MTSU football as the Blue Raiders take on UTEP at Floyd Stadium this Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Blue Raiders take on the University of Texas El Paso at Floyd Stadium this Saturday. The Fighting Aaron Joneses out there.
There you go.
There you go. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, Will from Nashville says, guys, who are the quality free agent left tackles expected to be available? The expected
None.
To be available part of it is the interesting part. I mean, right now, Tyron Smith, Dwayne Brown, both not under contract for 2024. Dwayne Brown's making $10 million this year. Tyron Smith, $12.2 million with the Cowboys. He's 33, or he will be 33. So, bottom line is, most of the time, when you have a high-quality left tackle, they don't get to free agency because teams lock those guys up.
Right. Sometimes you'll have a quality tackle who gets a free agent. The Titans let Jack Conklin go,
yep.
Which, you know, you can debate that too. If you go back in time and they spend the money on Conklin and they never draft Isaiah Wilson and all, you know, you can see how things might have turned out better. But left tackle, almost never. It's like people get sick of the Titans drafting offensive tackles, but that's why you have to do it that way. You have to draft your top offensive linemen because they are at a premium in this league, and people don't let them go when they get them because they draft them, and they're good, and they then have them for a cheap contract, and those teams are really good. A team that I can think of right now that's better than I thought, I still think they'll blow it, but look at the Detroit Lions and their drafting of offensive linemen. It's absolutely why they are where they are. They have good skill and all that stuff too, but it's about that. Penei Sewell is out there he's like blocking three guys at once and stuff.
He's ridiculous.
And of course he's a right tackle. So you have to draft it. Now receiver, there's a place where you can actually in free agency get something done. A TD
trade for people. Seen that happen.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. Yeah. You can find a sucker out there who'll trade you a great receiver. See if you can do that, but TD's throwing at me Tyler Boyd and Darnell Mooney. TD loves Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. He's
been talking about Darnell Mooney. But as he says, Mooney, deep threat, punt returner.
Yeah.
With Boyd, see, that's the thing that's interesting about the Bengals is I think the Bengals are going to sign Higgins. I think the Bengals are going to figure it out.
I think so, too.
But Boyd is absolutely then he's out there. And he's good. I mean, Tyler Boyd's a good player. I drafted it the other day, and they would have beat the Texans. But that's not a bad thought. That's a more realistic possibility than T. Higgins is going to be.
Well, I'm interested to see. I mean, obviously, they're not keeping all three of them. I mean, Chase is the priority, which he should be. And then you've got T. Higgins, and then Tyler Boyd is probably going to end up being the odd man out if they get Higgins back in there. You know, I don't know that he qualifies for – he's not a number one wide receiver, so he's not like your game-changing wide receiver. But there will be options for you at wide receiver this offseason. Whereas tackle, that's why, you know, looking at it today, and again, I don't want to get in too deep into draft talk in November, but it feels like the Titans are almost a slam dunk to draft a left tackle based on where they're going to end up being, which is, I mean, right now they'd have the 8th overall pick. Let's say they remain in that neighborhood or they get to 7 or 6 or somewhere in there. Like a really good left tackle that you feel like could be a cornerstone for your offensive line for years to come. I mean, it feels like that's the way you have to go if you're the Titans.
And that's a position for all the Titans' historical issues with some positions. That's one that's been very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lawan, that's, man, I need to go back to find some text about Lawan. The don't know what you got till it's gone just plays for that situation like nothing else, right? I mean, he was not perfect. He was really good. He had several years where he was a guy that could command that side of the field and made such a huge difference. You just have to find the next one.
I got a texter that asked, would you trade Derrick Henry for two quality offensive linemen?
No,
it's
no
not
one.
Happen.
Yeah.
Well, first off, his contract's up.
His contract's
the year,
up. The trading deadline's over, so you can't.
And you couldn't trade Derrick Henry for one quality offensive
lineman,
much less two.
I mean, like Derrick Henry is an all-time great player at the Tennessee Titans. You know, the market's probably not going to be very kind to him.
Probably not. So it feels like the left tackle answer is going to have to come in the draft, which that's fine. But then it creates, all right, well, you still need wide receiver help, and you still need – I mean, look, they might need a right tackle too. That's the other thing. Like, Petit Frere goes down. He wasn't very good before he went down. In some ways, it's a wasted season with him because you have the gambling suspension. He's back briefly, and then he's hurt, and now is likely out the rest of the year. So it's basically a total waste for him in year two. Chris Hubbard, I think, has been okay at times. He's not the long-term answer at right tackle. Like, you can't go into next year with Chris Hubbard as your right tackle. So they need a right tackle too, in my opinion. That may end up coming down to, though, like, is that a spot where you have to make a sacrifice given all the other things that you have to do and you just roll with Petit Frere?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm not – and with Petit Frere, I'm not out yet on him possibly being the answer there. No, didn't look good this year. He had the gambling suspension. Now he's hurt. I mean, I think, again, there's one of those. It's like Burks. It's like you have to gamble with some of the guys you already have and hope that, like, it clicks and they stay healthy.
Yeah.
And he may be one of those. But if the Titans were to draft a left tackle with their first pick and then draft a right tackle, that's not crazy.
No.
It's a lot of drafting the tackles, but that's what they've been doing. Are they going to make the good choices? I get anyone being skeptical of that, but you have to keep trying.
And then how do you find a wide receiver?
And then where's your wide receiver? Yeah. And where's your cornerback?
Yep.
And, you know, on and on and on.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I have a comparison question. Which fan base is or was more frustrated, this year's Titans fan base or last year's Predators fan base?
Ooh, that's a good one. Thanks for the call, Bob.
Well, some of the same people.
Some are the same people.
So but there's a lot of frustration.
There is. I mean, Predators fans were pretty upset before all the changes took place last year. I think I'm going Titans, though. Slight edge to the Titans. I don't know, though. It's pretty close.
Yeah, the difference is, for the, you know, the Preds fan base, it was years of, this isn't going to happen, and they went too far with it.
Right.
The NFL, things just happen so much faster in the NFL. Again, a one seed. Like, okay, so the Preds are the President's Trophy winner in 17-18. And it's disappointing the next year, but they still won the division.
Right.
Disappointing series against Dallas. You know, they still won the division. Obviously, the next year is the COVID year. And, you know, even in 21, they kind of had a surprisingly good year. But in the NFL, you're talking one seed 2 years ago to –
Cheeks.
Top five pick?
Yeah.
I mean, in a two. And you're talking about all of a sudden, you're 7-3 last year. You're going to win the AFC South for a third year in a row, which has never happened before. And all of a sudden, oh, nope, you've lost 13 of 16 games. So I think there's a little bit of a – it's a little bit more dramatic with Titans fans in a short period of time. But the Preds, I think I'd give it to the Preds because it was years of please do something different.
Right.
They finally did.
It's an interesting question. I mean, look, we talked about last weekend. It's not a great sports time around here right now in terms of just on the field or on the ice, or we'll get to the court at some point. Maybe that'll change things around.
Hoop season.
But I mean, like, Titans are not very good. Vols get their butts kicked over the weekend. Preds are 5-9 to kick things off here. We need somebody to step up here, for God's sake. Get things rolling a little bit.
I'm telling you, it's about hoops. Your Rick Barnes is your he's your champion of
the great hope, Rick Barnes,
in the state of Tennessee,
and postseason basketball. What could go wrong?
It's one of these years, it's going to be his year, I'm telling you.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds back in action tonight at home, taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scored for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks at Bridgestone Arena. Pick to Click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. The standings in the competition, Joe Rexrode, the listeners, Nick Keiser, all tied atop the standings with three correct answers. There was movement last time out, however, as I correctly guessed Philip Forsberg and moved to two correct answers. So I'm closing in on the leaders in the competition.
Well done.
With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rick. Rick, good morning. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning. I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg.
Thank you, Rick. Forsberg, he's on a heater right now.
That's the right move.
He's got 6 goals on the season. Had 2 last time out against Arizona. Scored against Winnipeg. So Forsberg's putting the puck in the back of the net right now. I'm going to go Ryan O'Reilly. I'm up first in the competition today. I'll go O'Reilly. He scored last game. He's been right on the doorstep a couple of times and has just missed, or the goaltender's made a pretty good save. So I'll go O'Reilly to keep things going tonight. Joe Rexroder, Forsberg, O'Reilly off the board. Your pick to click for the Predators.
I'll go Tommy Novak.
Tommy Novak, the selection, who has 6 goals on the season already. Nick Kieser, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Novak off the board. Your pick to click.
Kiefer Sherwood, he scores against his former team tonight.
I like that.
Wow. There we go.
Sherwood's playing well.
Deep cut time. I like it.
Sherwood's playing well. He's a good shot by him. Last game, scored the first goal of the game for the Predators. And that line in general, Novak, Sherwood, Evangelista, it's been an adventure at times in their defensive zone coverage. But offensively, looking pretty good right now.
Shervangelistavak? I don't know.
Nailed it. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah. If one of these lines sticks, you know. You got to name lines.
It'll be good.
I know you're a huge fan of that.
Yes, let's name more lines. We don't do that enough
around
here. Kevin, going back to the Titans conversation, says, oh, crap, yeah, this is the year we took a right tackle in the top 10, just like this is the year we take a damn left guard in the top 10. Point is, our evaluation team sucks. Talking about Kevin.
Well, so his original text was, had we drafted old Gas Mask instead of Corey Davis, we'd be fine at left tackle. Titans never get it right.
Gas Mask.
But that, as I pointed out, Corey Davis was the next year. Now, Kevin, Jack Conklin was a good pick. I mean, the Titans moved out of one. That was Goff to the Rams. They got a haul of picks. They moved back up to get Conklin. Yeah, he's a right tackle. That was a good pick. They had, for a few years, and for a couple of years before Conklin tore his ACL, they had all of a sudden a tremendous tackle situation.
They did.
They went from an awful team, as Lawan got it together and Conklin came in, to all of a sudden, wow, they're good. Why? Because they could block. And, you know, Ben Jones at center was a huge part of that too. So, yeah, that draft was very good. That was John Robinson's draft that also included Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. So, the evaluation around here used to be pretty good.
It did.
It hasn't been as good lately.
Well, maybe they finally give Skoronski a look at left tackle, and he looks good out there, and then you don't have to draft a left tackle.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't ask, you know, I think they should, because you should just try to cobble together whatever you can to try to protect your young quarterback, but it doesn't sound like they will, so that's... I mean, if they don't do it this week, then they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So I get it. He hasn't had reps there, but
you could get him some this week at practice.
You could.
Though.
That's why you get practice. You could give him. You know what sucks is that we've spent a lot of the day talking about the draft and free agency.
I know.
And this team has played 9 games and has 8 games left.
I know.
That's where things are. That's what happens when the football's bad. You immediately
would we like
on
to
the
discuss
offseason.
Each drive of the game from Sunday?
No.
Offensively?
No, I'm not saying I want to discuss that stuff. I'm just saying, sign of the times, you know.
You know, that first 3-and-out they had looked great. It was good stuff.
Yeah. Travis Shervakalista. Good job, Travis.
Nice.
I like that one better.
Travis also says, I don't know why people are mad. What else did you expect? We were told this was going to be a process with the Titans.
Oh, wait. Are you talking Titans or are you talking Preds?
No, I think Titans.
Okay, because the other two have three straight
No,
ticks.
Well, maybe he was talking
yeah,
about
Yeah, I think he's talking about the Preds. Well. Yeah, because that makes more sense for the Preds, right? I mean, some people are just came in this year like, hey, I'm happy they did what they did. I enjoy Bridgestone and the environment, and let's see these young guys and whatever the results are or what they are. But, yeah. You know, if you're an invested fan, you don't want to see a loser. You know, like seeing your team score 5 goals, which is like Haley's Comet, and then losing the game, you know?
No, you don't. I'm just interested to see if the Titans can get a touchdown on the road. I was, you know, beyond this, the
two
obvious.
2 touchdowns this year on the road.
Just beyond the obvious of the loss on Sunday against Tampa Bay, which was bad enough in its own right. I was watching, you know, the other channel had the San Francisco Jacksonville game on, and I'm watching that the Jags just get totally destroyed at home, and I'm thinking to myself, It's not good for the Titans. You'd be in some ways, even though it's a divisional opponent, but let's be real with ourselves. Who cares about the division right now?
Right.
You'd be better off with, like, Jacksonville knocking off San Francisco and kind of riding high heading into this game, and instead they got beat by 31 points at home and probably going to be a little angry against you on Sunday.
Angry. But also, is their confidence shaken? I mean, I don't know what to make of the Jags. There was this growing, you know, maybe they're a contender in the AFC kind of thing, and then they look like that. Probably says more about the Niners than it does about them. But you're right, they're going to be upset. They're going to be looking to bounce back. Hey, this is not exactly the same scenario, but it's because it was a few weeks later last year. But, you know, the Jags came into Nashville still really with no chance or anybody talking about anything.
Yeah.
And they came in and came back in the second half and won that game. The Titans find lightning in a bottle one day. They're 4-6.
Mason says, I know it's a huge homer question, but are we two games out of first place if we beat the Jags on Sunday? They would be 6-4, you'd be 4-6.
That is right.
There
and
you go.
And you'd have the tiebreaker and you'd have them coming into your place at the end. That's it. I mean, you're one surprising, and we'd all be surprised, I think, at this point.
I think
you're one surprising upset from all of a sudden changing it again to talking about this season, which would be refreshing.
Have we seen the line on the Jacksonville Titans game?
No, I have not. What is it?
What's your guess?
My guess would be Jags by, you know, actually, I'd say Jags by 7.5.
You're close. Jags by 6.5.
6.5, okay. I was like maybe just a little bit more than a touchdown, but okay. I bet you that moves. I bet you that moves past 7.
I think you're probably right. I think by the time the game kicks off, it'll be Jags minus 8.5. That's my prediction.
2 points movement. Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay. Yeah, I'll stick with 7.5 as a final line, but right in there. That's about right. I mean, it's not like the craziest idea in the world. The Titans go.
They've been terrible at home too.
Yeah. So all right. So we're back to talking
back
about this
there.
Season
Let's
again
get in
at
there.
The very end of the show.
Woo!
We got some days left to talk about this game.
That's gonna do it for us today. We'll have Paul Kuharski in studio from 8 to 9 tomorrow talking all things Titans. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.